For 50 years, scientists have been searching the skies for some sign that somebody is out there. They call this project SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And so far, 50 years in, there hasn't been a message, a signal, a contact, anything to be called a communication from an alien planet, with one possible exception. Here's science correspondent Robert Krulwich.
I'm going to take you back to the moment when SETI scientists thought maybe this is it, the real deal. A signal from an intelligent alien. It happened 33 years ago on August the 15th, 1977. And because science writer Michael Brooks has investigated this in great detail, he's going to help me. So where are we?
We're in Delaware, Ohio, mm-hmm. at an observatory, a radio telescope called the Big Ear.
So picture a large, curved, dish-like thing standing on a platform, an aluminum-covered platform. It's all alone in an empty Ohio field.
So you're almost at midnight. There's nobody there to listen.
Though there is a computer using a very primitive code. This computer can record any unusual noises from space. At 11:16 Eastern Daylight Savings Time,
the receiver picks up this signal,
which based on the computer data would have sounded something like this.
Basically a growing electric pulse that then just falls away again.
And as this is going on, there is a man living nearby, just a short drive away. Where were you at 11:16 p.m.? That's just before midnight.
Sleeping.
You're asleep.
Yeah.
Jerry Amon is an astronomer.
So Jerry was one of many SETI pioneers who, you know, were listening at this stage.
I had been asked to look at the computer printout to for anything that looked interesting to me.
So 3 days after the signal was received,
A technician comes along, takes the data, prints it out, and he delivered that to Jerry Amon's house.
Yeah, I got the computer printout out of the box.
And Amon sat down in the kitchen and had a look at the printout.
What Jerry was looking for was a very particular kind of signal. Imagined years before by two famous physicists,
Giuseppe Cocconi and Philip Morrison,
astronomers from Cornell who'd published an article in Nature, one of the great science journals.
And what they did was they went and looked at what, if you were an alien, you know, what would you broadcast? If we were looking for a signal, you know, what kind of signal should we be looking for?
Because radio signals can travel vast distances across space, they suggested we should look for a radio transmission at a frequency that has some kind of universal significance. So, for example,
the most abundant molecule in the universe, hydrogen, has a very specific resonance frequency, 1420 megahertz.
And apparently everybody, you know, science people know this, everyone.
And so if you're going to beam a signal, that would be the frequency to choose because it means something to anyone in the universe who's intelligent enough to listen.
So there's Jerry Amon now sitting at the kitchen table. And what he saw
was a very, very narrow signal.
Just like our AM and FM radio broadcasts
it's
and
narrow,
so forth.
It's narrow band?
Narrow band signals would indicate intelligence.
Why?
Because in order to create a narrow band signal, you have to have some electronics to handle that. It's not a natural phenomenon.
Well, let me ask you about the frequency. Did this signal by any chance come in near 1420 megahertz?
It turns out to be at 1420.4556, so it's
is very... Is that close? Is that...
That's close.
Is that so close that it might look like someone intended it to be there?
That could be an interpretation.
So if it's a narrow band radio signal, it's close to 1420 megahertz, it's loud, that kind of fits, doesn't it?
Yes. Sure does.
So Jerry took his pen at that moment and wrote "Wow!" exclamation point right there on the page.
Right.
Because?
Well, that's the nice thing about the word "wow." Yeah, I was astonished.
And ever since, this signal from space has been labeled the "Wow!" signal. And even a skeptic like the director of astrobiology at Columbia University, Caleb Scharf.
The gloomy.
Yeah, be the gloomy.
Gloomy commentator on this.
Even Caleb says this one felt kind of like the real deal.
Yeah, I think the fact that it was part of a carefully designed, systematic survey gives you some hope that it's a real signal.
But this signal did have a problem. Because if I were an extraterrestrial and I was trying to say hello to planet Earth, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to just say hello one time. I mean, if something is intentional, it would be hello, pause, and then hello, pause, and then hello. I mean, you do it a few times, right?
That's right.
But he looked through the rest of the printout, and there was no other signal in the printout.
None?
No, nothing.
Has there been any pulse picked up like that in the next year?
There has been absolutely nothing ever since of this particular type.
So that's the troubling part.
That's troubling.
If I put myself in his shoes, I don't envy him.
Columbia's Caleb Scharf says that scientists want confirmation when they discover something.
Absolutely. And that's key in scientific method. You want to see a repeat.
And you want to eliminate alternate possibilities, like maybe this was a military transmission or a satellite.
No.
Or signals bouncing off some orbital space debris.
No.
So for 33 years, every time SETI astronomers said, okay, we've eliminated all the other explanations, up popped an astronomer to say, well, have you considered
colliding black holes, glitching pulsars, black holes going burp, gamma ray bursts, all this kind of stuff.
Well, then how do you solve a mystery when astronomers keep handing you new clues every year? Jerry Amon, in the end, says he can't really know if he saw an alien signal because he can't eliminate all these alternative possibilities.
But they're really interesting.
Yeah, but they never end.
What do you do about that? Yeah. It's a very interesting problem. Like, you know, frustration would be at some point someone's going to knock on the door and say, well, look, you're using all this time and let's stop. And I don't know if you have a really good response to that.
Well, what's your response? Do you think SETI should stop looking for aliens because it's so hard? Is that
personal take would be, yeah, you should keep doing it.
Really? Why? You've been such a doomy, gloomy...
Well, exactly what you said, that I can't in good conscience say that you will never see something. And I know that if you did, it would be amazing.
Wouldn't you like to meet an alien?
Of course I would. Absolutely. Yeah. It would be unbelievable and incredible. But it's a long shot.
So there we are. We want the amazing part, but who knows what the costs will be. We can't stop looking, so we're really kind of
stuck.
Yeah. And that's SETI, 50 years in. The odds are next to impossible, but they're doing it anyway. Robert Krulwich, NPR News. Oh, I should add, because some of you might want to know this, a few hours after the signal hit the receiver in Delaware, Ohio, something a little odd did happen.
Good evening. Elvis Presley died today.
Elvis died just a few hours after this signal came in. I'm not saying there's any coincidence or any link between these events at all.
Well, we just thought you ought to know.
Are you lonesome?
You can continue the search for alien life with a rare look at a baby solar system and see the computer printout and Jerry Amon's wow at npr.org. Wow!
Does your mammal...
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News, wherever.